Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, the pass is deep to his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done three things. 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
All right, what's going on? Welcome to Cannell and Bell. Danny Cannell, Rajah Bell, hanging out. It's Tuesday. I'm back in town.
Yeah, baby. No Reed? There's no Reed this morning?
No Reed. You didn't hear us talking about that for like 10 minutes ago. We were like, what's going on? I must just went right
out. Bad.
Anybody who's listening might have no idea what we're talking about. Usually we do at this hour. We kind of give updates.
Correct.
The news for CBS Sports HQ, where you can watch us every day. We did not have it today. I think you might have gotten somebody fired on the show, like that's supposed to be in charge of that, but we'll just gloss over that. We do have a monster show for you. Magic Johnson still helping the Lakers. This has to be one of those onion pieces. We're going to break that down. The NFL draft is coming up. We'll hit on some of those evaluations. And I have a question that I think is perfect for the recent events that have happened over the last week, myself included. Are former players all just grumpy old men who like to complain? We're going to break that down.
Donovan McNabb went after
Carson Wentz a little bit. But before we get into Odell Beckham, Ezekiel Elliott, you are a tattoo guy.
Yeah, I like tats.
Do you have any, Matt Coca, our producer, is a tat guy. Do you have any tattoos of yourself?
I have tattoos of my name.
Like your initials or like Rajah? See, I can feel that. Like I would think about maybe getting a DK or something.
Yeah,
like
I got like Raj on my arm.
Yeah.
Like in a basketball related tat.
And yeah.
And I've got my middle name and another tat like on my leg.
Right. What about a full-on self-portrait that takes up the whole entire calf? Which is Ezekiel Elliott.
Is that what he did?
Yeah, he just broke it out. It's on his calf. Big old picture of himself right there. It looks a little crazy.
Looks like a zombie.
It does look. I wonder if it's supposed to look like a zombie and it looks like he has a crown on his head maybe, right?
Yeah, he does have a crown. Yes, he does have a crown.
Which, hey, to each his own. But I don't know. I think it'd be kind of interesting. Like your kids, totally get pictures of your kids.
Absolutely.
Your wife, something like that, but a self-portrait.
No.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm feeling too much.
Kids, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know that you should get a tat of your wife.
Name?
Whoa. Like, no, not a picture.
What if she's super hot?
I think kids is where you go with self-portraits.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that you go yourself. I don't think that
Significant other.
Significant other.
Really?
I don't think portrait.
Right. Because I've seen some of those where the guys have
really
nudes.
I don't
their
know.
Wife.
Nudes.
That's probably a little too much.
They got nude portraits of it. What?
let's steer this thing back on track and get some actual sports stuff. But congrats to Zeke on the new tat. Looks good.
Zombie Zeke.
Yeah, Zombie Zeke. Yeah. I like that. Odell Beckham Jr. has a new team. He has a new city.
Yeah.
He seemingly has embraced that. Dave Gettleman, his former GM with the New York Giants, had some interesting comments that he made over the last couple days. And of course, Odell Beckham is not receiving very, very well. He said, quote, Dave Gettleman did, "There's more to it than just collecting talent. There's a cultural thing to it that's critical. I have not been on a team that's gone to a Super Bowl that's had a culture problem." And then he was followed up question by the reporter, "Did you have one with the Giants?" And he smiled. I'm sure it was a wry smile. And he said, "Not anymore." Most people can put two and two together. They can figure out, this was Odell Beckham Jr. who has moved on. Sometimes I think, 10, 15 years ago, probably just would have gone away. But today's environment where you can pick up
your
phone and tweet right back, respond to somebody who just crushes you. Odell Beckham did just that. Sent out a tweet of the link, and he said, quote, his tweet said, had us laughing, crying emojis. "This was by far one of the funniest things I've seen today." Followed it up with, "I never understood the truth shall set you free." Quote, "Wow, I finally get it. Sorry, y'all, just thinking out loud. Don't read too deep into it."
Man.
Then he followed up because Odell took some criticism in the article for not traveling with the team.
Right.
He said, "Ask the coach. I begged him to go each and every one of those games, actually for my teammates, and to be on the sideline for the home games. He told me no. Anything else, sir? That's whoever tweeted asking why I didn't travel while I was hurt. Next." That's pretty standard procedure. Guys that are injured seriously don't travel with team. We'll break that down a little bit. And then finally, had one more for him, said, "What you don't understand, I've never been in a place so happy in my life. My soul, my spirit is at an all-time high. Say what you want. There is no bringing me down, period." We have one more because Odell was going off.
Yeah, he was on.
Ask any one of my teammates of who I was as a teammate and a man and a person. Yes, I'm cancer to a place that's okay with losing because I want to win that bad. You're absolutely correct. It's a lot to digest. There's a lot going on there. Your thoughts?
Dave Gettleman, grow up. Like, let me start there. I don't get into Odell Beckham. Grow up. There's an opportunity, again, at a microphone. If you're a polished GM, you know how to navigate that. Do you have a cancer problem? Do we have one with the Giants? Our team is a very good place right now. We're excited about how we're positioned. This should be a great season with the Giants. Gone. Done. Never said a word or alluded to the fact that you previously had a cancer problem. So you did that on purpose. It's very petty of you, right? And typically, petty people don't work in those situations. Eventually, karma gets your ass, right? So that's what I would say to Dave Gettleman, all right? Just grow up. You didn't need to do that. To Odell Beckham Jr., hey, bro, don't even dignify that with a response. Keep it moving. If you want to shoot out some kind of stuff saying, again, I've never been happier in my life, happy to be a Cleveland Brown. There was one tweet in there where that one, I've never been in a place so happy in my life. My soul, my spirit, so an all-time high. Say what you want. There's no bringing me down, period. That's it.
Right.
End game. Done.
Right.
And for first of all, because that chapter's closed in your life, it really doesn't matter what people are talking. It's a wrap. It's done. Mm-hmm. You don't have to really deal with any of that anymore unless you want to. And now you're engaging in it. And then for your Cleveland Browns family, if there were any concerns of you coming over, it was that you were easily distracted and you would get into stuff like that. I'd like to show that I kind of turned a new leaf where look, I'm not bothered by any of that. I'm fully invested in what's going on with the Browns here and I'm not really even concerning myself with New York. So, you know, I would tell Dave Gettleman again to grow up and then Odell Beckham Jr. maybe a little bit too. Like just stop reading that stuff.
This is 2019 in a nutshell though, which is one of the things I can't stand about today's environment because everybody has a criticism. Everybody has some sly little remarks, some bit of snark that they come out with, and that's what Gettleman did. Because he could have easily explained, yeah, our team had a problem last year. There was no chemistry. You know, there was a culture that, you know, we were losing and it kind of became infectious and it rolled downhill and guys didn't have the right attitude. You can put all of them because football, if you want to preach it from the coaches and GM standpoint, what do we always say? It's a team game.
Yep.
It's a team game. Not one person can bring apart the team. You know, they might, you know, affect the team and they can affect it negatively. And yeah, maybe you shipped them off because you felt like that was a big part of the problem, but it's not just one guy that's going to have you. What were they? 3-13 last year?
Well,
like they were awful.
Hold your thought. Because I was asking before I came on, Dave Gettleman, his last go around the block was with the Carolina Panthers, right?
Correct.
And it became a distraction and a cancer in the locker room, Josh Norman situation, right?
He was
their best, one of the best corners in football at the time.
Correct.
They shipped him off for cancerous reasons. Did they improve?
No.
No. They did not improve. They did not. And what I would say to Gettleman, I didn't mean to hijack yourself here, is, yeah, there is a chemistry part, and there is a culture part. But there's a talent part also.
Yes.
And you can't be shipping out your best talent and just be purely have your team based on good culture guys. Most of the time, they aren't the ones that carry you when the going gets tough. Do you know what I mean? They set a tone, but they don't. Is that what was making that noise?
Yeah, it was really freaking me out. It was buzzing. It was like,
but you have to have the right, you have to have the right combination of talent and culture, right?
Absolutely. My bad. They were 5-11 last year. They were 3-13 the year before the New York Giants were. My thing is if you're Dave Gettleman and you're like, hey, we solved that problem, you might want to wait and see to make sure that you have that problem taken care of because they're not going to be as talented. We don't know that yet. We don't know if they're going to be a better team. You might want to see that play out. And I'm with you. Totally agree. Let it go. Like there's ways you can talk to the media in certain ways. And to Odell, I would say the same thing. Like let it go. I get that everybody wants to respond to it. I was telling Coca before the show, I listened to the Joe Rogan Experience, a really good podcast, and I was listening to him with Russell Brand, and they were talking about Twitter and social media, and I think everyone could take a really good piece of advice from it, myself included, because it's really had a negative impact on me in the last week or so. Because Joe Rogan was saying he used to go on, he'd tweet something out or his videos would be out there, and the only things that he would respond to are the negative comments.
Right.
Like there could be a bunch of people saying, hey, great take, loved the show, did this, whatever.
Completely.
But the ones that you want to go at are the people that are like, you suck, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. And it feels like, you know, because I think a lot of people have been pumping up the Browns saying, this is a, I've been saying, hey, this team could be a Super Bowl contender.
Sure.
Everyone's high on the Browns. Odell, here's the one bit of negative. Now I get it, there's a personal circumstance there, but just, don't respond to it. Or send one tweet that's like, hey, I'm in a great spot now. I'm happy I moved on. Well, good luck to everybody. It's tough. It's easier to sit here and say it than to be in that position. And I am not the example to look at. If you look at my Twitter timeline of me responding to trolls, that's usually all I do. But we all could learn from this and stop feeding into the negativity.
If this was like a competition, then in my book, Gettleman wins.
Yeah.
He wins because he comes out, you know, he lobs this thing. He doesn't really put a name on it. He just puts out this kind of, you know, tweet or
yeah,
or,
comment or with comment. The media.
And Odell Beckham does what Odell Beckham does, you know, which is kind of loses his cool and goes off on a Twitter tirade and rant.
And it makes Gettleman look right.
And it makes Gettleman look right. So, again, you know, grow up, Dave Gettleman. You baited him. You knew what you were doing. You did. And you might be shrewder than I think you are. And maybe the Giants have a good exec and you guys wind up being, you know, a Super Bowl contending team again. But to Odell Beckham Jr., let that go, man. You can't live in your rearview mirror. I mean, you certainly can't play a sport in your rearview mirror. Right. We're talking about playing forward. It's very hard to live like that too. Worry about what's in front of you, bro. Don't be concerning yourself with people, who aren't worth your time concerning yourself with.
Yep.
So this whole thing happened in 2017 too, when Dave Gettleman got fired from the Panthers, because I found D'Angelo Williams came out and said, I want to publicly say the Panthers are off my teams I won't play for due to the firing of that snake, Dave Gettleman. Steve Smith came out and said, Gettleman doesn't even have the cojones to tell us to our face about our releases. We have to hear it from someone else. Then he calls us and says it wasn't personal. You had Josh Norman doing the same thing. Josh Norman tweeted once Dave Gettleman got fired. So it's always, I mean, You can see sort of the players that this guy doesn't really like are these outspoken players, these fiery players. If it's a Steve Smith or, you know, an Odell Beckham, they sort of have that same personality.
And Gettleman, would be qualified as your old school, yep. The coach, the front office is always right.
Correct.
You players, you keep in march step and you don't say anything wrong and you go to work, right? Yeah. you don't say anything. That is not today's society. It's not today's athlete. And if you don't, adapt,
yeah,
you're going to have a really hard time finding a team that's going to want to play for you.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a challenge for Gettleman if he doesn't adapt somewhat. And this isn't
a guy like him, he doesn't adapt.
Right.
Dave Gettleman doesn't adapt.
Old school.
They're not adapting. You have to phase them out.
Right.
And what happens typically in NFL, NBA, I don't know about Major League Baseball. Maybe they have there's a recycling thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be good if Dave Gettleman failed one place and you saw the writing on the wall and you were like, all right, nope, that's not working in today's NFL. Usually gets a second opportunity somewhere else. Sometimes even a third if you're a good, like, interview and a good communicator. But typically those guys don't change their stripes. They are who they are.
The problem is I think there's one team that has the old school mentality. And everybody tries to be like them, and it's the Patriots.
Right.
But the reason they're able to get away with that are two things. One, it's the tremendous amount of success. It's the dynasty that they have already in place. So they have the luxury of being able to kick guys to the curb. And it's Brady has bought into it. So he spreads that message throughout the locker room of, hey, don't respond. Don't do anything. We have the Patriot way. It's worked and we're going to keep doing it. So you've got those two features there. I don't think that can be replicated in today's society.
It can't. And you have to be very careful of looking at an organization from the outside and seeing the what they portray as an organization and characterizing it as old school and it's our way or the highway and we are soldiers and we stay in line. Because you would look at San Antonio and say, man, Pop is a hard ass.
Right.
And those guys get in line. They do what they're supposed to do. That we can run our organization like that. Well, Pop is, but you don't see all the love that Pop showers, you know, around, you know, to different players, you know, in the locker room. You don't see the team meals. You don't see the wine drinking sessions. You don't see the absolute, you know, buy-in as a human being from Pop towards those players. And then they respect him and they'll act accordingly for him. If you're just preaching that at people and you're not able to check all the other boxes that the other organization checks, then you're not going to have the same success that they have.
Right.
And typically, that's what you see. There's a model. There's a blueprint. And you think you've got it all figured out, so we're just going to copy the way it looks. You got to have the whole foundation that they have as well.
If you look at the NFL, like right now, the teams that have the most issues are these teams that aren't adapting, like the Jaguars and Tom Coughlin always coming out saying like Jalen Ramsey didn't show up to this. And then you have like the Packers, like another team that's an old school team. The Raiders, another team that's an old school team. And all these teams are struggling.
Here's what I will say. Because the NFL is a total copycat league, mm-hmm. and the Patriots are the best example of it. Everybody else trying to do that. There are more ways to win. Sure. You know, like look at Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's miscast the other way because I think people see him as a fun, hey, happy-go-lucky coach. I'm in this innovative offense, and yet I think behind the scenes, I think he has the respect of his team. That's all that matters. Historically, you've seen teams that are, you know, the college example is Clemson versus Bama because Dabo Sweeney is the guy dancing in the locker room, having as much fun as possible, wins, you know, creating a dynasty, and yet you have Nick Saban who's straight line, hard, doesn't, you know, show any of that emotion out front, and yet they've got a dynasty. There are more ways to win than just one philosophy. It's all about knowing your players and how to get the best out of them and building an atmosphere like that. Kyler Murray is most likely going to be the number one overall pick in the draft. One sports book I saw this morning had a minus 600 that he's going to be the number one overall pick. I think it's a lock.
Okay.
I think anything you hear out of Arizona is a smoke screen to try to get more for Josh Rosen. Cause I think the more everybody knows they're taking Kyler Murray, they're like, yeah, they have to deal Josh Rosen now. So we're going to float all these low ball offers. But our boy Pete Prisco right here at CBS HQ says he's hearing, and we did our draft special, our mock draft special last week. And I know he said this on the show. He was like, nope, they're not taking him. He's been told by Arizona, by some sources, that they are passing on him.
Really?
I do not buy it. I think
he's been told by sources.
He's been told. He has people who have told him. He's got peeps.
He's got peeps.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I think, I love Pete. He's one of my favorite dudes around here. I think this happens not only to him, but I think it happens to a lot of people. I think you're fed information sometimes to get something accomplished by the other end. And,
right.
And I think sometimes they give you good information to kind of build up that, you know, that trust.
Sure.
And other times they'll give you something that maybe isn't true, that, and maybe there's a sliver of truth to it, but I'm not buying this one.
This is a tough one because the question on my paper, how surprised would you be if he doesn't go number one? I'm never surprised anymore. I've seen stuff happen across the landscape of sports that I never really thought I would see. And so I am trying to adapt with my mentality. Nothing would surprise me with that number one pick, especially since they've been so quiet. It's rare.
Right.
This time last year, people kind of heard that Baker was trending and
yep.
started to be this. This one has been radio silence for the most part. That always worries me. It always leads me to believe that there's something going on there that would be out of the norm. And so it wouldn't surprise me. I do think that Kyler Murray, and I've wavered on this, Danny. I've wavered because on one hand, Cliff Kingsbury, offensive guru,
right.
quarterback whisperer, you spent capital last year to bump up in the draft to get a pretty good quarterback in Josh Rosen.
Yep.
Keep him, use those picks to solidify a lot of other holes that you have, and let Cliff Kingsbury do what he's supposed to do, which is be that quarterback whisperer.
Right.
On the other hand, I've said, and I'm kind of back to this, that if you're going to roll the dice on Cliff Kingsbury and that offensive philosophy, get him the guy that he feels can run it the best.
Yeah.
And go from there. And so I'm back to, I think they should take Kyler Murray, but I've wavered.
I think the Cliff Kingsbury hire was risky, a guy with no NFL experience who didn't have a winning record
right.
oftentimes at Texas Tech. Now he had big offense. I think you're swinging for the fences. You might as well swing for the fences with Kyler Murray. I think it's a good pairing. Not to say that they couldn't have a tremendous amount of success with Josh Rosen because Cliff Kingsbury has coached pocket passers
mm-hmm.
before, but I just feel like it's a done deal. Now, I think it'd be fascinating. I would actually prefer that maybe he didn't get picked over one just because you'd see a flurry of people caught off guard. Like, what's happening now? The Raiders picking at 4.
Draft would they explode. All of a sudden, everything would start to pop.
The storylines that would surround there would be a complete shock right there.
What do you imagine? When do you imagine if they figure out that Kyler's their guy, when do you imagine that Josh Rosen has to be moved by?
He's got to go before they actually announce his name.
Right.
But again, we were doing our mock draft special, and there were several opinions on the show said they don't have to. They can still hold Josh Rosen, and they could hold him all the way until training camp if they had to. But I think your best leverage is going to come leading up to the draft. So I would
What's a good price for him at this point?
Well, see, I think he's going to get higher than we think. Most people are speculating that the offers they're getting are second round pick. There are a lot of teams that they would love to have Josh Rosen.
Absolutely.
I think late first round, maybe a package of, you know, 2 twos. I don't know what it looks like, but I think it's going to be better than what we're hearing.
Right.
Quarterbacks are a hot commodity. You can't find them on the street.
And that's not an average bear quarterback. That was a top 10 quarterback.
Exactly. It was 10th overall pick last year. So tons of fascinating storylines to see unfold. Hey, listeners, the NFL draft is headed to Nashville, and so are we at the Off the Bench podcast and CBS Sports HQ. For all 3 days, we'll be in the Music City with extensive draft coverage and even a few surprises. Off the Bench will kick off coverage in Nashville at 10 a.m. Eastern, Thursday and Friday morning, getting fans caught up on all the latest draft storylines and news. If you love hearing me on the pod, then you have to tune in to watch free on CBS Sports HQ. It's 24-hour streaming sports networks. Besides me, we'll have our full NFL crew providing analysis, grades, and fantasy implications for every pick over all seven rounds, live as they get announced. Pete Prisco, Brady Quinn, Jason LaConfora, Ryan Wilson, Brian McFadden, Jamie Eisenberg, and more, all the guys you know and love. If you're going to be in Nashville, make sure you stop by the Doghouse Saloon, say hello, and grab a beer or two. We'll be broadcasting live Thursday night, Friday night, and all day Saturday. If you can't catch us in person, you can always catch CBS Sports HQ by downloading the CBS Sports app on your phone, Fire TV, Roku, or Apple TV. It's always on, and it's always free. No need to pay a subscription or have an expensive cable package, so start watching today. All right, man, I'm mad at myself. Welcome back to Kennell and Bell. We just did a beautiful segment on how we're going to have this new mindset on not replying to trolls on Twitter.
Sure.
You know what I did? I just replied to two people during our break right here.
You're a fiend.
I'm so mad.
You're a fiend.
But I'm trying to explain myself. I don't care. I'm getting to the point where I don't care. If you want to harass us on Twitter, at Kennell and Bell is our show handle.
You know what? I am not explaining myself for anything. I'm not.
But sometimes
I'm not. I don't care who
hear the context of the way I want it explained, so I want to explain it better.
I'm not explaining anything to anybody.
So yesterday, we'll get into this just real quick. I know Coco's probably max. We're going to get to Magic in a second. Yesterday, I taped a NFL draft special.
Mm-hmm.
As part of that special, I gave out quarterback grades from the rookie class last year.
Okay.
So I gave like A, B, C's, or D's. On Baker Mayfield, I asked our producer, I said, I want to give two grades, not just the on the field, how he performed, but a little bit off the field. So I said A plus from on the field, 27 touchdowns, incredible. Off the field, I put C because I don't love that he went after Hugh Jackson,
yeah,
that he was still talking about him, that he goes after Colin Coward. Like, yeah, all, I think it's immature.
Yep.
So I gave him a C. Perfect. Like, that's reasonable, fine, right? What, like, Cleveland Browns fans are all upset. They're like,
oh,
on the clip, I even said he could be MVP
right
this coming season if, you know, if he continues to progress. That's the only thing they heard was C, off the field issues. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're just a hater. You're just trying to get comments. What can you do?
Danny, of those people.
Right. I know.
How many of them play quarterback in the NFL?
I don't know, but they definitely question
how many
my,
of them, how many of them,
question
how many of them make a living breaking down football?
It's true. Well, according to them.
No, I'm asking you. How many of them make a living? But you do, but you currently do.
But according to them, I shouldn't be. I should be fired. I wasn't that. I was a scrub in the NFL.
I ain't worried about none of them. I ain't worried about none of them.
All right, good.
I'm saying if you tell me he got a C, Danny Kanell, guess what he got?
A C.
A C.
That's right. Tell him like it is. I need you to be my Twitter.
I got you.
All right.
I'm going to shut that down immediately.
All right, good.
Disconnect.
The Los Angeles Lakers been a complete mess over the last couple weeks. Magic steps down. You know, the coaching search is unfolding. Luke Walton moves on. There was a report came out that I think should be really concerning if you're a Lakers fan, of which there are many. Magic Johnson was on the record, said he's still helping the Lakers. TMZ had the report. He said, almost like I never left. What are we doing? If you're like, if he is, there's a problem on Jeannie Buss's standpoint. Like, why are you still listening? I just, this makes zero sense to me. And for me, it says that this is a really dysfunctional franchise right now.
Yeah, I think that there aren't clear lines there. I think that, and this is speculation, but I think that Jeannie is running this more like a family and less like a business, it feels like. And Magic is a part of that family, as is Kobe and all the great Lakers. But when it's time to run the business, they have to be outside. They're not a part of that communication line. And I feel like there's a problem there separating the family from the business to some degree. Magic has to be smart enough too, in my opinion, to just not say anything.
At least for a while.
That light.
How about at least for a while?
When the microphone comes in your face, just don't say anything about the Lakers and what capacity you're still involved with the Lakers and making decisions, because it all reflects poorly on the Lakers. And quite frankly, it reflects on why you probably weren't great at doing the job in the first place. You don't know what to say and when it needs to be said. And I would challenge the notion that it's all good with him, LeBron, Maverick Carter, and Rich Paul. I know them. If you didn't give them any heads up and you quit without telling anybody, and this blindsided them, you are not as cool with them as you think you are.
I would say you're dead to them.
Right.
Like, real talk. Borderline there. I just don't. I mean, talk about somebody who doesn't have a really good self-awareness. That's what it feels like with Magic. Is he aware of what
I think
people
that
think
Magic,
about him? Or he, I mean, granted, he probably lives in a bubble where everybody, everywhere he
Correct.
Goes, everybody loves Magic.
Everybody loves Magic. Magic loves Magic. And sometimes, and I don't mean this in a rude way, I mean, you do lose self-awareness. You
of
just,
course.
It's your world.
Yeah, exactly. And no, he has a pretty nice world. That'd be great. I'd love to live in his world. I do think, how do you handle this if you're Jeannie Buss? Because he's on the record saying, I love Jeannie. I've been talking to her almost every day. I'm trying to help. Listen, I may not be there physically, but I'm still there. If you're her, do you try to cut this back? Or is he Magic and he's Magic and he's been, they have this sister-brother relationship where they love each other and they say how much affection they have for each other.
How old is Jeannie Buss? Does anybody know? I'm trying to figure out the relationship there. Was she raised on Magic?
I think so, yeah.
Magic older than her?
Yeah, no, she's 67. Right. 57, sorry. I was going to say she looks
so
really
she
good.
Was older than Magic. So it's not like she was raised and revered Magic as like as a schoolgirl when they were winning championships.
Hold on, I think she was because he's probably what? Let me see how old he is to get this right as we look at this up online. Magic is 59. So they were contemporaries. Yeah, so while she's
really
young,
tough.
When she's just graduating college, probably just starting to work with the Lakers, following her dad's steps. Yeah.
It's a tough one. I would, and I don't have the answer. I mean, I don't own a franchise. It's her business. But I would have a private conversation with Magic if we were really close. And I'd say, you have to understand how this doesn't look good for me and how this doesn't help the Lakers and the brand that is the Lakers. So what I'm going to need to do is I'm going to come out in the media and I'm going to put some space between us. I need you to support that and echo that in whatever you're saying. We can still have this undercurrent of communication. We can still be besties, but this doesn't have to be public record. I need there to be a clean break between Magic, Kobe, LA Lakers family, and LA Lakers daily business.
Right.
And I need to have that be the front that's put up nationally. So I'm going to have this press conference.
Yep.
When they come see you next time, I need you to echo what I say in this press conference. And I would say, I love Magic. Our history and
he's always
and the
gonna
love
be a
Lakers
Laker.
Will always be part of our family and always have a home, you know, at whatever, wherever we're playing, the Staples Center, so on and so forth. But as it pertains to day-to-day business, Rob Pelinka, whoever else is in the building, they are the ones running the ship. Just make sure everyone knows that.
That's what I was going to say is totally unfair to. How are you receiving this if you're Rob Pelinka? You're
just,
like,
it's a,
come
it's a,
on.
It's,
I just
it's
got
a poop show.
Guy. Yeah, exactly. Like, poop I just got this problem out of the way, and now he's still involved. It makes zero sense. Sort of a symbol, because Magic is always going to be a Laker. One of the greatest Lakers of all time. You're always going to want him to be a part of the organization, come back, celebrations.
And there's value in when he pitches to someone on their recruiting trip and so on and so forth. There's value there.
It's just too soon for him to be speaking his mind like this.
Agreed.
Bobby Bowden was a legend at Florida State. Well, you know, he built the program, right? When he retired, whatever you want to call it, the end of his tenure came to a close when Jimbo Fisher took over, he said, you know what? I'm going to step away. I'm going to give Jimbo his space. And he did. Went away. Didn't go to any games.
Right.
Didn't, you know, do any media. Just like was like, I'm going to give him his space. That's what Magic needs to do.
Yes.
And then you know what happened after time? Bobby came back, you know, received an open arms.
Ambassador.
Helped the program. Yeah. He's helped the booster program. All of that. There's a way to do this and Magic just doesn't get it right now. He's got to just give it an arms, like give some time. It'll be okay and figure it out.
I agree. Before. I agree 100%.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
It's the most all-star-studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
All right, welcome back to Kinnell and Bell. Doing a little NBA as the playoffs are in full swing. First round complete for some teams. We're setting up some second round matchups already. I've been less than enthralled, let's say, on the first round of the NBA playoffs. I mean, they're kind of chalk is playing out.
Yep.
Some interesting little beefs, but the games themselves haven't, like, I want to see tightly contested games where you see, you know, possibly 6-7 game series. You see those, you know, played out. I get if you have this many teams get in, there's going to be a pretty good separation in talent, and that's what you're seeing unfold. So the Bucks get the sweep over the Pistons.
Yeah.
Really close. They're moving on to face the Celtics. who also looked really impressive versus the Pacers. So the Celtics' number one feat has to be stopping Giannis.
Sure.
MVP candidate. He's, you know, this unstoppable force. What do you do if you're Brad Stevens and the Celtics team? What's your game plan if you're trying to defend Giannis?
I don't know. I mean, conventional wisdom would say back up, try to bait him into shooting jumpers. But he, unlike Russell Westbrook, does a really good job of not settling for that too often. He'll still shoot the jumper. But I've always told people who I coach that don't shoot well and get spaced like that. You call it spacing a guy when you just back up off of him. That gives you a running start at the defenders and at one of his shoulders. And it's really hard as a defender to be standing stationary with a guy getting a 6-foot running start and be able to contain him one way or another. So Giannis just comes at you and he'll give you a little in and out or something. And then he's into your shoulder and he's unfolding at the rim. So that doesn't work.
Because it's that's similar to a defensive back. You know, if you're trying to play off or if you're trying to take cover two press, like in football, at least within 5 yards, you can get a hand on him. You can check him, but in basketball, you can't. So you're like trying to start from a standstill.
And he's already going
on the move.
Correct.
It's virtually impossible.
Really tough, especially when that guy is 6'11 and can finish as well as anybody in the league. If that guy's a guard and he doesn't have the length to extend and finish around the rim, that's a different story. But this guy's a freak. He's going to be on top of the rim. So what I would probably do to Giannis would be to try to get up under Giannis. Try to be in the gaps as secondary defenders, meaning not glued to my man, but be, you know, up the line and in the gap so that it would appear that there's not a driving lane there. Hope that he'd get off the ball early. Maybe it would confuse him a little bit because he's a willing passer and they got great 3-point shooters. So, you know, if I'm up underneath him, it's going to promote him to put the ball on the floor. He wants to do it anyway. I've got a secondary defender, you know, knowing that he's getting back to the shooter, but appearing like he's going to, you know, take Giannis's drive away, maybe stun at him and get back and hope that it affects his ability to really see what's in front of him, which would be a wide open layup. Cause what you don't want is Giannis to live in the paint, everybody be sucked in on Giannis. And now you've got all of these 3-point shooters and that's all they can really do, doing what they do best, which is shooting threes.
Do we sleep on the supporting cast of Giannis? Cause I think we do this in general in our business, especially people like myself who do a bunch of sports and you're not specializing on just one.
Right.
Like, is his supporting cast better than we think? Just cause I think it's easy to talk about Giannis when you talk about the Bucks, and, you know, somebody like yourself would know a lot more about the supporting cast.
Yeah.
They're the number one seed. One guy's not carrying him there.
They're not even playing at full strength. Malcolm Brogdon, who's a really, really good young player, not healthy right now. They're hoping to get him back. Tony Snell, a really good player. At least he's been for the Bucks as of late. Not playing right now. Pau Gasol, I mean, he speaks for himself, not playing right now. But Nikola Mirotic, which one of the twins does he have? Brooke Lopez?
Yep. How about my man Pat Connaughton?
Pat Connaughton has been good, but I'm talking specifically
Eric Bledsoe.
Specifically as bigs though now.
Okay.
Not the others. And then he's got a counterpart. What's the kid's name? I'm terrible with these names. But he's a scorer too. Came from Texas A&M. I can't call his name right now. But he's really, really
DJ Wilson.
A 1B to Giannis.
Ilya Sova.
Dude, come on, man.
Who are we going with?
Get to the name, man. There's one
Chris
guy.
You said him earlier.
I bet. No, I didn't say it. But the bigs. What you want to do with him is you want to have bigs that really shoot and really space the floor. And they've achieved that this year, so that it opens up all of that room for Giannis to kind of do his thing. But they're not healthy, and that's what's been kind of remarkable about the way they've come out of the gates in the playoffs is you can make the argument that their third best player, you know, isn't even on the floor right now in Malcolm Brogdon, but they've got a lot of guys, to your point, pitching in and helping. This is my thing about this series is it's going to boil down to what pace they play at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, Boston, like, I've got these stats here and they held Indiana to this many points and Indiana didn't score over 100 and this Pacers scored over 100 just once in the series. The Pacers are a low scoring. They were like 24th in the league in offense anyway.
Right.
They don't have a guy. The Bucks over their last three games have averaged 122 points. The Celtics have averaged 104 points a game. Those two teams want to play in different classes in terms of speed and pace, scoring output. If Boston can dictate with their defense and the pace at which they play, what number that game is played around, whether it's around 99 to 106, then I think they'll have a chance to really do damage. If the Milwaukee Bucks can push tempo and get that thing up over 111, 112, I think they're gonna win most of the games in the series.
Who are you picking?
I'm taking Milwaukee.
You are?
Yeah,
I
didn't take
Bucks advance. All right. There's also NBA news because your old squad, the Phoenix Suns, this is a complete disaster. We're talking about the Lakers. This might be even worse. They fired Igor Kokoskov after one season.
Uh-huh.
So now you've got a player like Devin Booker, bright young player, you know, is incredible. He's, you know, all these 60-point games.
Sure.
Incredible talent. He's about to have his fifth coach in five seasons. They just, it's a revolving door at the head coach. Like, when you look at this, how can you expect to sustain any sort of success when you're having this much turnover? Or, like, I mean, I don't understand it.
I've said this for years about the Suns. It seems like they have no real plan. Their roster had no continuity. There was turnover continuously in the front office and in the coaching chair. It's an unstable situation. Now, a good friend of mine, James Jones, has the job now. What I'm hoping this is James saying, when you first get a job, you have a small window of opportunity to affect change. I'm going to do this my way, and if it doesn't work, it will be because I was true to myself and my vision. It's not going to be because you handcuffed me to something that I didn't want in the first place, and then you were going to fire me because of it. It was never my fault. So maybe, hopefully this is James saying, look, Igor isn't the guy. I want to go with my guy. I'm going to start from scratch. He's got the support of Robert Sarver and ownership, and if it doesn't work, he can sleep at night. You had Igor, and you hired him. You had the first pick in the draft. And Luka Doncic, who he coached on the Slovenian national team, was sitting right there. Kudos to you, Koka, for bringing this point up.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't take him.
And he's balling.
And you've been in need of a point guard for a long time. And while he's not your prototypical point guard size, he plays like a point forward. He can get off that ball. You've got a great young star in Devin Booker. You missed again. And it all speaks to you not having any vision or any real plan. I'm hoping, because I'm a, you know, lifelong son. Mm-hmm. And a Suns fan now from afar, that James Jones has the type of vision and they give him enough time, because time is what it's all about. Time for your vision to unfold. And I'm hoping James is that guy. We'll see.
I'm curious to know from your standpoint, because if I was a young quarterback, like we were talking about Josh Rosen earlier, he's been through a bunch of offensive coordinators. And I think it sets back your development exponentially because you have to learn new systems. Now, for me, it's like, well, an NFL playbook's like this thick and it's all you do. Is it that much of a different, like, is it that challenging for young players to get new schemes from different coaches?
Yeah. It's challenging for any player.
Cause I don't think anybody understands, like, we can all talk about Kyler Murray running a 40, how he throws the ball, completion, accuracy. The mental part to me are what really separates guys that can last a long time in the NFL. Cause you have to learn the playbook. You have to be able to process the information, and then you have to be able to go out and execute it in a high-pressure situation.
Right.
How much different is that in the NBA?
It's the same but different. I mean, you're not reading – different positions have different
– right.
Right? Like quarterbacks have to read, you know, the coverage.
Right.
A lot of times point guards are the ones with the ball. They're reading coverage like that. Shooting guards are learning how to read their defender when they're coming off the screens and how to space the floor and – you know, it is similar, but different.
Right.
But what happens is you have different philosophies and you're trying to navigate your way through learning, you know, the first one, which would be how to play fast. And that might take a different player. You know, it might take any given player 2 years to really settle in to learning how to push tempo and play fast and play at that speed. And then now we're not playing like that anymore. We're going to slow it down and we're going to grind you out. And now you have to have this different skill set because I'm not going to have you with the ball in your hands. Now you're going to be coming off of down screens. And if you haven't been playing out of a floppy set, which is too big, and no one really plays out of floppy anymore at the pro level, but if you haven't played out of that, let's just use it.
Yeah.
Example, it's all foreign. That's all brand new. Now you're learning to play a different way and you haven't even mastered the first way that they asked you to play yet. And typically, you know, players come into the league and they get a steady diet for the first 3-4 years if you're a good player of one way to play and the way you're going to kind of master and cultivate your game. And then if that coach doesn't work out, you might get a new guy in there, but you've learned kind of who you are as a player in a system. That guy would come in and see it and be like, okay, let me kind of work around that and figure out how to get Danny in the right. Nobody really knows what those kids are because you haven't been able to see them consistently in any given system, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a mess for the players and it's a mess for the guy coming in that's trying to coach because you don't know what you're working with.
Right. I've always felt like for an NFL system, and this is why I'm really impressed with guys like Baker Mayfield that come in and tear it up. I think it takes a full year and a half to really get comfortable with the playbook. When I say comfortable, look at that first year. I think even Baker Mayfield to some extent this season, you're really thinking a lot on the field. Like you're having to think, all right, what am I doing here? And you're, it just takes time. And that term, the game slows down. This is where I think after a year and a half, you don't have to think so much. It's just like, yeah, bam, I know that play. It's like
you're learning another
language. You become more fluent in that language.
Absolutely.
So in your mind, you don't think after you say, what is your name? You know, like you just know. You just know how to say it. And I think that's the biggest difference. And when guys can truly play without thinking so much, that's when you see their talents come. And that's what you should want in every player.
Fluency is a really good way to put that. You want to be fluent in pick and roll. You want to be fluent in whatever it is that you're doing. I didn't even talk about defensive philosophies.
Right.
NBA players have to play both sides of the ball. But fluent is a good word. And, you know, so when I tried to make the Spurs the first time around, Spurs were a heavy pick and roll team. No one had ever prepared me to play pick and roll. I just hadn't been taught it at the high school level. None of my college teams play pick and roll. And so I really just didn't know how to play pick and roll basketball. I wasn't fluent in it, and I could not make their team because I was always in the wrong spot, never really comfortable doing it. And it took me, going back to the CBA, going to Philly, it took me almost 3 years of playing in someone's pick and roll system at the pro level to figure out, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do, and not having to process it and get where I'm supposed to go, and now the plays pass me by. So fluency is a big thing. I like the word.
Welcome back to Kennell and Bell. We talked earlier in the show about Twitter beefs. It's just do you think it's worse now? Like, cause I guess we refer to it social media, but there have been feuds historically in sports between players and media members.
Sure, absolutely.
It just does feel like now everything's covered 24/7. It's like, everybody has a response. The players
Jim Rome and Chris.
It wasn't Chris. It was Jim Everett.
Jim Everett, my bad.
And he called him Chrissy Everett. Yeah, right. And that's when he attacked him on set. Which I don't know. I think it might have been staged. It was great for Jim Rome's career. I don't know if it was or not, though. But anyway, there is a beef that's unfolding in Philadelphia. Donovan McNabb, good dude. I like Donovan a lot.
Yeah, I like Donovan too.
He's a good dude. He's of course Philadelphia Eagles former quarterback, had a tremendous amount of success with them in their franchise. Never got them the Super Bowl win, which they were looking for, but nonetheless, incredible quarterback. So he was on CBS Sports Radio and had some interesting comments about Carson Wentz, where he said, quote, if he can't get out of the second round, they should look to possibly draft another quarterback. He said in the next 2 years, because they just don't know about his durability. Staying healthy is very key in this league, and it really pertains to the success of the quarterback. The team only goes as far as the quarterback takes them. They put so much of their eggs into the basket with Carson Wentz, and he's got to prove that in the next 2 years. I think with his injury history, I think that is a completely fair assessment. I think I've said that on this show. Mm-hmm. Like when you're looking at Carson Wentz, part of the evaluation process is, can you play 16 games?
It's hard to separate your former beloved face of the franchise from the new media member that is Donovan McNabb.
Right.
Not new, but that's his job now. Mm-hmm. So when you hear something like that as a fan, it's hard to understand that he's just giving his professional opinion on it. Here's where I think, and you tell me if this changes the way, I think there's an operative word in the phrase, right? Mm-hmm. So he says if he can't get out of the second round, they should look to possibly draft another quarterback. That says one thing. Let's remove should and say, if he can't get out of the second round, they may have to possibly look to draft another quarterback.
Right.
I think that changes the whole way that comes across to an Eagles fan. So, you know, I think
fans are so sensitive.
They are.
Though. They only hear the worst possible context. That's what I'm figuring out with
this
Baker Mayfield.
But when you say should, it makes them sound like you want them to do that. When you say that, hey, if he doesn't get it right or he's injured, they may have to.
Right.
That sounds more like a professional opinion to someone than when you're saying they should do this.
Right. So it's one thing if Eagles fans are upset. It's another thing if current players are getting upset,
right,
which has happened when their offensive tackle, Lane Johnson, sent out a tweet right at Donovan McNabb, snakes in the grass, and he said, and you wonder why nobody respects you when you come back.
That's
pretty brutal.
That's
right
tough.
There. Then Johnson went on radio and explained it a little bit more in depth. It still was pretty bad, though. He said, quote, this is what I meant. Every training camp, we have all these ex-players come and shake our hands, wish us good luck. Then they just go out and just talk hate. I feel there's a lot of envy, jealousy, and I see a lot of fakery. It isn't just me. A lot of other teammates see it, too. You would think the best quarterback in franchise history would try to build up a young man that looks up to him instead of always criticizing him, critiquing him, and wishing he could fail so he could be the missing link and feel better himself. That is what I don't like. Donovan tried to, but see, like, I don't know. Again, like, this is where I think Lane Johnson could pull, like we were talking about Odell Beckham. just realize it's part of the business.
Right.
And if Don McNabb is a member of the media, it's his job to criticize, to give his opinion. Donovan did say.
And I don't know that he criticized
Carson
Wentz. I don't
think so either. No, he, I mean, this is where sometimes I'm guilty of this. Before I'm going to give a strong opinion against somebody, I'll build him up. I'll be like, you know,
right.
Carson, cause for me, this is probably the passive aggressive nature of me. I've been like, Carson Wentz, an amazing MVP type season. But if he doesn't stay healthy, they should move on.
Right.
You know, like you try
right,
to
right,
give
sure.
those.
You soften
and
the
now
a
little
bit.
Donovan didn't say that, but Donovan probably thinks that, you know, but like just cause he didn't say that, I just think players are too up in their feelings. It's like, get over it. These guys, it doesn't mean Donovan McNabb can't be an Eagle fan, an Eagle
you,
for life.
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever feel, you don't associate with the team, do you? Are you a Giant for life, or are you a Falcon for life?
No,
are you a-
no, not really. I'm a Florida State guy for life, but I've had fans come at me like heated because I picked Oregon to beat them, you know, in the playoffs a couple years. I'm like,
right.
Well, I thought Oregon is an analyst. That doesn't mean I
but,
picked Oregon to win, but I was rooting for Florida State, but they can't separate that.
Are you ever torn by the allegiance that you feel to Florida State and having to make a comment that
Florida State doesn't write my check?
Right.
You know, so I don't have any problem being critical of them.
So I would say this about Donovan. Don't, if you have to be willing to not be the beloved Donovan McNabb as an Eagle and go out and say your piece. And if the current Eagles don't like it, it's your job.
It just sucks though, cause I'm sure Donovan does like to go out at training camp and probably does like to watch a practice or two. And if
you picked a profession where you're put in a position to have to say negative things about them and they don't like them, whether it's right or wrong, don't go out to the training camp.
It's
a wrap. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like we're saying that the fans and the current players have to have, you know, a better wherewithal and understand what Donovan's job is and so on and so forth. Fair. But let's say they don't. Well, Donovan, you understand what your job is, and you understand the ramifications of saying stuff about a place where you're beloved, and you know the culture and the climate of those fans. So if you come out and say it, the other day, I said on this show about Joel Embiid,
mm-hmm.
and I thought he should have been kicked out, and I thought he should be suspended for a game.
Yep.
I will fully be prepared if somebody in Philly heard that to catch the backlash that comes from that, because I understand the Philly fan.
Right.
He's got to do
it. And I'm sure Donovan does too. My philosophy, and I think this is Donovan, I think Donovan actually is standing by this, is if I'm going to say something about a player, I should be able to say it to his face.
Right.
Now, I might deliver it differently, a little more harsher, but I'll be able to explain the context of it and say, you know what? Here's why I thought it was stupid for you to do this. Like Odell Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been pretty critical of him. Hey, why did you have to send those tweets? You could have been a bigger man. You know?
I haven't, Odell.
Right, you have nice. But like, and I think Donovan McNabb would be more than willing to talk to Carson. And see, this is probably what's unfolding. He's probably got his number. He's probably texting him, say, "Hey, man, I didn't mean it this way." And they're probably good.
Sure.
Now, maybe this is the best case scenario of an offensive lineman getting his quarterback's back. Then I like it.
That's cool too. And I have no problem with that.
Yeah. All right, let's finish the show with some picks because we have NBA playoff action tonight. Nets at Sixers. Sixers, 8.5-point favorite. I think the Sixers have punked the Nets throughout the series. Do they continue that?
Nets.
And do they cover the 8.5?
They cover, no.
You're saying Nets. The Nets cover. They keep it close. The Sixers win.
Sixers with the win.
All right.
Nets cover the 8.5.
Thunder at Blazers. This one's been, Russell Westbrook's had an ugly series. Blazer laying a 3.5 at home.
I'm going to take the Thundo.
You think they extend it?
I do. And maybe selfishly because I picked them to win. But I think they're going to win tonight.
All right. Last one. Magic at Raptors. Raptors trying to close it out at home. They're laying 11.5.
It's a big number. Take the Magic.
Oh, he gave it. One last one. Spurs at Nuggets. Nuggets 5.5.
Spurs.
All right. Boom. There you have it. All your picks. Lock them in.
Nuggets.